Let's pray together. Lord, we need you to come and fill us, Lord, with your strength and power. Lord, we thank you for these days of summer, Lord, the first Sunday of summer, and we just invite your presence to go with us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And as we've been talking about the summertime, it's interesting. Yesterday was the summer solstice, so the longest day of the year, and today starts summer then. And thinking about summer, I was thinking, my favorite part of summer has always been being outside and hanging out with the kids. We have such great memories when the kids were little. We would go to the pool every summer. I worked second shift, so I would get off at midnight. And through the winter, I would get up in the morning and drive them to school so they would know, hey, I've got a dad. You know, what do you do? So they would see me this little brief moment all through the school year. And then in the summertime, they would be mine for the day, and we would launch out on these adventures. We would go to the pool every day, and we would go riding our bikes, and we would go up the street to the dam. We'd play on the rocks at the dam, and at the park, we would. I was jogging then, and I would push their bikes up this hill, and right at the top of the hill, it kind of plateaued for a little ways, and then there was a playground, and they would ride their bikes up to this playground, and they would play while I ran. And I'd run to the end of the park and come back, and I'd start yelling, "Here I come!" And I'd hear, "Oh, oh, here he comes! Oh, it's time to go." So they would, you know, I would start yelling because I knew it would take a while to get off a swing, you know, take some time, get on their bikes, and then we'd go back to the car and then head to the pool. And so the adventures of summer are wonderful, the fun of summer, and the impact of summer. I was thinking about this summer. The Lord gave me a couple scriptures in Mark, a couple stories about Jesus in the pool, Jesus by the pool. I thought, well, this is appropriate. You know, it was our passion to be with Dad at the pool and have some fun at the pool. And so we're going to have some time with Jesus at the pool. And if you want to turn to John, we're going to start in John 5. We've got a couple stories. The first one's in John 5, and it's so fun because the Lord, so much goes on. You know, I think about my desire during that time in the summer was to have an impact on my children's life so that they would know I was with them, and we could have fun together and enjoy the day, and it was important to me. But what I didn't fully understand was the impact on them. That time with me and recognition of my interest in spending time with them made them realize the value they held. They were valuable to me. And they realized they had value because I invested time and energy in them. I showed an excitement about being with them, and this wasn't a drudgery. This was an exciting time that we got to spend together. This was our adventure time this summer. And it does something inside, and it's just like that for us. When we spend time with Jesus, it does something in us and changes us from the inside out. And the things we long for, you know, we're talking about this summer being an opportunity to draw closer to Jesus. And as I was preparing, I felt the Lord saying, He was invested in this, that as we take time with him, he's going to take time with us. And I thought about the events recently in my life. There's been a sort of a tragedy. My nephew had to have his foot removed. And it was so hard to, it surprised me. Because I was praying and holding out for a miracle, and I thought the Lord would spare this little guy. He's been through so much. He's on dialysis. He was born with a birth defect and has to be on dialysis. And a two-year-old to lose a foot was it really impacted me. And I thought, how do I get my head around this? How do I understand this event? This is a tragedy. This is something I invested in. This is a little guy I know and love, and this is a struggle. And this isn't unique to me. We all struggle. You know, what is it? What happened? You know, we look at events in our lives and compare it with events in other people's lives, and we say, how could this be? How can this be? What are we going to do to make sense of this? And these two stories are two events where Jesus is spending time at the pool, we'll call it. The first story, he's actually runs into this fellow at the pool, and the next story, he sends him to the pool. So in this first story in chapter 5, Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. There's a feast. You know, the Jews like to have their feast. The Lord instructed them, you know, there's seasons in your life where you need to party. There's seasons in your life when you need to just celebrate the goodness of God and go out and get all your family together, get all your friends together, have a big cookout. Let's feast and celebrate and enjoy each other. And so he's up for that, and it talks about in Jerusalem there's this place where there's five porches. It's this pool where there's these porches around, and during this time of feasting, every year this angel would come and stir this pool, and the people, the first one that got in it would be healed. So the porches were like a covering place where all these people could kind of hang out, and they're waiting. And when the angel shows up, I'm going to go in. And Jesus runs into this fellow, and he's been there for a while. He's had this infirmity for 38 years, the Bible talks about. And he says, do you want to be made well? Isn't that an interesting question? Do you want to be made well? And the guy's like, well, I don't have a man to carry me down to the pool. I don't have a way. You know, I get started and then someone gets there first. So, you know, he's saying I would love to, but there's these things going on. And today the Lord's saying, do you want to be made well? You don't have to wrestle with trying to figure out what's going on, because the real answer to our questions, the real solution isn't in some mathematical equation or some comparison between your life and another. The real answer is in intimacy with Jesus Christ. And the real answer is when he comes to you and speaks to your heart. And that's irreplaceable. And a lot of times along in the story, we'll find out here in a little bit about the Pharisees who resisted Jesus. They resisted a change in how they interacted in their life. You know, it was comfortable. The way it was going was working for them. And it was risky to allow this change to happen, to allow Jesus to come and change their way of doing things. And so there's risks involved. And this guy, even in that time, was at risk too. Jesus told him to take up his mat and walk. And so he was healed immediately. And Jesus didn't ask him about his faith level. Jesus didn't ask him about if he knew who he was. Do you believe I'm the Son of God? That was the issue of the day, and it was a big, big deal because the Pharisees hated Jesus for who he claimed to be. And I love him for who he claimed to be. And I for a long time, I thought the Pharisees were idiots. I just couldn't understand how could you not get it? But then I realized in ways I was just like him. So I managed to find a little grace for him there because of, you know, I could see myself so many ways. And one of the ways is the resistance to change. Does anybody else not want like change? I don't even like admitting I don't like change. So it's... It takes me a while. You know, I have to push back for a little while I'm thinking about it. Whoa, wait a minute. What change? What? Okay, let's try it out, and then we'll see if this change will work. So anyway, Jesus tells him to take up his mat and walk. He doesn't complain. He doesn't question Jesus about it. He gets his mat, and he walks. The one who was healed didn't know who Jesus was, and Jesus in the multitude got lost, and afterwards Jesus came to him in the temple and says, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And so just like Emmy shared about the culture in different places in the world, the Jews were convinced that the result, the reason this guy was suffering was sin. Sin was the result. It's how they equated things. And it makes sense because Jesus says, okay, go and sin no more. So there was a result of something, and Jesus was the answer to it. And Jesus says, go and sin no more. So he invited him into a life in the Spirit. Because I don't know if you've tried to go and sin no more without Jesus. It's pretty brutal. And even with him, it takes some specifics. You know, go and sin no more is great instructions, and I recommend it. For sure, for sure. But it takes more than that. It takes a commitment to show up and to invite Jesus in. And that's what the intimacy we're talking about during this summertime is how are we going to grow in intimacy with the Lord? And I love the model here where Jesus just shows up and meets his need, and then he begins to talk about it. You know, hey, guess what? I'm not lame anymore. I'm able to walk, and I'm going to walk to the temple and tell everybody about this thing, this wonderful thing that's happened, this miracle that's happened in my life. And then out of his testimony, how many of you have shared your testimony, and it solidifies things? It's like, yeah, the more I talk about the miracle that's happened in my life, the more I walk in it, and the more I enjoy it, and the more it impacts. Because whenever you talk about something that Jesus has done, he shows up to confirm it. When you have a testimony about something Jesus has done, he shows up, and even though it's your explanation, inside the person that's hearing its heart, a confirmation comes from Jesus Christ. Is that cool? Because it's his testimony. It's a testimony about something Jesus has done, and it unlocks something in people's hearts. It's so powerful, and that's why I wanted to real quickly this morning say, you know, in your prayer circles, if you have an opportunity to share too, we pray every Sunday. We agree together in prayer, and it's good to say, you know, this is something the Lord's done for me. And we just 2 weeks ago had a Spirit-filled service. What do we call it? Freedom's Pathway. And the Lord broke through, and everyone that was came, man, the Lord just met them. And not everybody had the opportunity to stand and testify that night, but that's yours. That event in your life, that event is yours. And anytime you talk about it, there's a confirmation that's going to come to people's heart about that being genuine, because you're sharing about something that Jesus Christ came and did in your heart, and your life is different. And when you talk about that, it brings power, and it confirms not only in your own heart, but it does something in the people's heart that you're sharing about. That was just a little bonus, okay? So the Lord is calling us to draw near to him this summer, and he's inviting us to come and spend more time with him. Come and let this summer be a time when the way you think about things is transformed because of intimacy with me. Come and let this summer be a time when I clear up things that you have questions in your heart and mind because I'm ministering to you. Come and spend time with me and let's clear up some things. Because the Pharisees were so upset about this, and Jesus didn't let up. So the event, this impartation where Jesus comes into this guy's life, he ministers this healing, and so he receives something from Jesus. You all have received this invitation. I want to make this perfectly clear. You today, you're hearing my voice. You're receiving an invitation by Jesus Christ to draw near to him. He's opening up himself to say, there's more intimacy. There's more fellowship. There's more of relationship that your heart is desiring with me, and I desire it with you. This is an invitation for you to come closer to me and come and enjoy relationship with me in ways that you haven't. It's okay to be excited. I understand there's rules. You have to kind of stay calm. But the God of the universe sent his only begotten Son. And his only Son, Jesus Christ, has just invited you to spend time with him in a way that's going to be transforming. Not just this general, you know, pastors are always saying, you know, get in the Bible. But Here's an invitation from Jesus. And these two stories kind of model this change in the thinking pattern. Jesus asked this fellow if he'd like to be whole. And his only thought is, you don't understand the circumstances I'm in. I want to be whole, but the pathway to wholeness, I'm not quick enough. The way that get whole is impossible for me because of the limitations I'm living with. And the limitations I'm living with prevent me from getting whole. I want you to understand that there is no limitation preventing you from getting whole. Jesus has got this invitation for you, and it's real. And the enemy wants to block it with this idea in your mind, like you disqualified yourself because of your actions or because of the events that have happened in your life that have disqualified you from this close relationship. And the Lord's saying, no, I'm opening this invitation to you so that you are allowing me to let you see things differently. Let you receive my grace in a different way. The Lord says, whatever you've done and whatever happened in your life is forgiven and washed away. And He wants to open this new avenue. You don't have to go through this, get in the pool. He's going to touch you Himself and give you some instructions. Take up your pad and walk. Take up your pad and go. And then He's going to give you the instructions. Okay, all that stuff that clouded your brain, all that stuff that kept you from receiving me and fellowshipping with me, all that stuff that made you feel like I was too distant, all that stuff that made you wonder about how I felt about you, I'm washing that away. Now go and sin no more. And the Lord clears those things up. Sometimes we can't see how things are sin, you know. Let me think of one. Here's a good one. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'll pick your own fear. You don't need mine. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of. I'm afraid for my children. I'm afraid for my house burning down. I'm afraid for a wreck. I'm afraid. Is that sin? Bingo. Wait a minute. What do I do? I know it's sin. Now that, you know, the sound room guys. Thank you very much. Now, not only am I afraid, I'm convicted of sinning. But we have to have revelation. We have to have a new way of thinking about things to recognize where we're struggling. If I never knew fear was sin, I couldn't hate it. You know, you can be afraid and hate being afraid and hate that it's a, you know, recognizing it's a sin. And it's a start. It's like starting on a path to getting free of it. That first we have to recognize it for what it is and just quit beating ourselves up with it. I'm afraid and it's sin. Oh, I'm so bad. No, I'm afraid it's a sin. It's assaulting the truth about what God says about me. And now I'm free to hate it. I hate that I'm ever afraid of anything. I hate that I worry about whether or not I can afford to do something. I hate that I wonder if the Lord's going to come through for me. I hate that I... What? Name your fear. Name your worry. I hate that I worry about what's going to happen when the Lord's promised me something, that He's going to take care of me. And the promise, I always love the promise of Jesus, in this life you will have troubles. Not everybody's hanging on to that one. But in reality, that's the beautiful promise of God. Because in your life, you've all had troubles. That was not the surprise. Okay, in this life you will have troubles. Gotcha. Bingo. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. He's got a way to overcome that trouble for you that's going to equip you to be more than you've ever been before. And then in James, he goes on to say, count it joy because this is the testing of your faith that produces something. It's going to produce something in you. And just like this invitation is going to produce something in you. this overcoming conviction that you can do it all because you're loved and cherished. And so this guy takes up his bed and walks, and Jesus gives him these instructions. Go and sin no more. And then he goes on in John. I'm not going to go on in this story in John 5, but oh my goodness, it's so awesome. Jesus just throws who he is in the face of the Pharisees, and they get more and more berserk about it. It's pretty hilarious. And we're going to go on to 9 because we're going to go to the next story by the pool. Are you guys having fun at the pool with Jesus? You guys need water or anything? You good? You got your lotion on? Okay. Little random humor. Calm down. Calm down. Tough crowd. Okay. Okay. Okay, so we're going to do this serious because you guys don't want to laugh in church. I'm okay with it. I can be serious. No, I can't. Okay, I tried it. It doesn't work for me. I don't know why. I don't know why it doesn't work. So here in 9, the first thing, Jesus passed by, he sees this guy blind from birth, and his disciples are curious about it because they've got it all figured out in their head. And they say, okay, Jesus, now what happened? We know sin was involved. Now who sinned? Was it him or his parents because he was born blind? Who was it? And so Jesus is going to clear it up for him, and he says, neither. It wasn't his sin. It wasn't his parents' sin. And you go, wait a minute. Somebody had to sin. It had to be. We just read the 1 in 5, right? The disciples were there, and he said, go and sin no more. Now, he was 38 years lame, and obviously there was sin involved because Jesus said, now go and sin no more, right? So logically, they come upon this guy. He's blind. He's blind from birth. So it was from birth, so it probably wasn't him. Maybe it was him. I wonder if it was him or maybe his parents, because it was from birth. So maybe his parents sinned, and then he was born blind. And so they knew that, oh, something's up. There's some sin going on here. Or maybe, you know, as he was being born, he did something. I wonder what that was. I wonder what he did. And so Jesus is clearing it up. And I love this comparison. I love this times at the pool. Jesus said, no, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So he's bringing this light into the world, and he's working this work to honor God, to glorify him, and do this miracle. So it wasn't this man's sin. And so he spits, he makes mud, and he puts it on his eyes and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. So there's the pool. So we got both pools, right? We're okay with Jesus at the pool. So Jesus sends him off to the pool. Say, hey, go wash your eyes and do a couple laps, dive, maybe cannonball, have some fun at the pool. So why is it that it's so easy for us to understand that sin has a result? It's true. It's not true. It's true that there's a result of sin that leads to death. The wages of sin is death, right? The Bible's really clear that there's this pathway. There's the wages of sin is death. And so for us, though, we don't understand all the ways that God works in us and through us. And we don't understand the bigger picture of what's going on. And so, you know, when we see the story in chapter 5, it was this opportunity for Jesus to show who he was and to minister not only to the man, but to the disciples and to all the Pharisees, to give them the chance to have their world rocked. And they had to come to this decision about who Jesus was and his impact, what his impact was going to be on them. And here we have the same thing where this man has been well known. He's sat and he's begged. He's blind, so he can't work. So he's been begging alms, and so he goes and testifies. And I love the story from here. I'm not going to read it verbatim because it's just so fun in my mind. So he goes and tells his neighbors, you know, I'm healed. And they like, hey, that's the guy that was blind. And the other neighbors are like, no, but that looks just like him. Can you hear this conversation? It's like, yeah, that's he looks just like that guy. Where is that guy that begs? Because that looks just like him. And he's like, no, it's me. And then they take him to the synagogue, and they're like, now what happened? He says, well, the guy, he made clay. He didn't mention the spit. He just said he made clay, and he put it on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and I washed, and now I can see. And they said, isn't that the Sabbath day? Was it today? Today. Oh, it's the Sabbath. This is the Sabbath. Who is this guy that breaks the Sabbath? This guy is a big sinner. I'm thinking, wow. Okay, so the guy walks into the synagogue. I'm healed. I can see. This amazing thing happened. He put clay on my eyes. I go and wash, and I'm healed. And they said, well, tell me again what happened. He goes, he makes clay. He puts it on my eyes, and in right here, between my, on the, each side of my nose. I don't know that there were even eyes there. I mean, he makes clay just like the Lord took clay in Genesis. So you wonder. But anyway, on each side of my nose, he puts this clay. I go and wash, and now I have eyes. I can see. I see. And you know what they said next? Get his parents. Let's find out if this guy was really blind. Were you really blind? I was sat at the gate. I was begging alms. You remember me? Get his parents. So they get his parents. His parents come in. They're like, what has he done now? Oh, jeez, these kids. These kids. Today, these kids with their music and their eyes healed. And kids today. So they come in and they're like, what's going on? What's going on here? They say, okay, is this your son? And was he blind? And is he now healed? Give us the scoop on it. Well, that's our son. And he's been blind since birth. But he's of age. And he can speak for himself. There you go. They were afraid to get kicked out. It was the place to be. It was the whole community got together at the synagogue and worshiped together and interacted together. And if you got kicked out, then no one would talk to you. No one would hang out with you. It'd be like getting a phone call at church. Was that me? Did I call you? So suddenly you're this social outcast and you're no longer acceptable. You have to like, oh my gosh. That's my brother-in-law, Mark. He knows I love him. Don't worry about him. He's safe. He's loved. I wish I'd paid him to do that. That was beautiful. So now we're not going to talk to Mark, right? Because he's not hanging with us anymore. And so the parents were really genuinely afraid that they were going to get kicked out of the synagogue. So they're like, you know, let him speak for himself. So they come back to him. And they say, now tell us again. And he goes, listen, I've told you, and then I told you, and you're not listening to me. Do you want to become his disciples? Oh, this guy just got healed. Now he's like, listen, I don't care what any of you think. I've been sitting here rejected all my life because of my physical condition. And now I've been healed, and I don't care what any of you think. Let me ask you this. Do you want to be a disciple? They're like, no, you've been a sinner since birth. Get out of here. We're not going to let you put us through this. And he says, well, now we know that God doesn't hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. This guy's trying to lay it out for him. Let me get it real simple for you guys. Let me just lay this out for you. You big priests. Hey, welcome back, Mark. That was perfect, man. I'll hook you up later. So they're like, since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of the one who was born blind. If this man is not from God, he could do nothing. And so they answered him, you were completely born in sin. And are you teaching us and they cast him out. You know, the reality is that sometimes the Lord just has to break through a way that we've been thinking. What the Lord's doing is inviting us to come. Come and don't let any type of thinking keep you from showing up. Because the Lord wants to have this impact through this summer of relationship with Him like never before. So I'm going to ask us all to stand together. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I just want you to agree in your heart. Just all the parts you agree with, join in your heart, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Lord, we're just opening our hearts to You today. Lord, we receive the invitation to a deeper relationship with You, Lord, that we would know better, Lord, like a dance. Lord, that we would hold You and You would hold us and we would get to know You better. We would get to understand who You are to us personally. In Jesus' name, Lord, we invite You to, we receive the invitation. We accept the invitation to get to know You better this summer. We accept the invitation to for You to rock our world. Lord, whatever thinking that we're trapped in, Lord, I've always been surprised. I've always been surprised when I was realizing that I've been trapped in a certain way of thinking. Like fear is sin. Lord, when I got that revelation, I was shocked. And so, Lord, I just ask that You would come with revelation so that whatever wall's been built up, whatever has been constructed to keep You at a distance so that You wouldn't see the real me, Lord, let those walls all come down. Let every wall that keeps me from being real in front of the throne of God come down and be torn apart and destroyed so that You can come and invade my world and become more to me than a distant God, that You would become my life, that You would become my Savior, that You would become so close to me that I would know what it is to be fathered by the Most High. Lord, in Jesus' name, I receive Your invitation today and invite You, Lord, to rock my world however You want to do it, Lord. I don't even understand how to do this, Lord. I just want You to do it because You invited me. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.